Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your man, L Wonder, and welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. And this week, I'm excited. I'm just like I've been excited for every week. I'm really excited because this is the last topical episode in the We Be Like series. Of course, I say that saying that next week we're going to do a recap. It's going to be live again on Facebook. So next week we return it back to live on Facebook. I'm going to have my best friend, Keith, Mr. K. Fagan, next week, and we go just do a recap of the We Be Like series. But this is our last topical portion of the We Be Like series. Yes, we made 11 full weeks. This is the 11th week of the We Be Like, part 11 of the We Be Like series. And today we're going to talk about Inspire Like Obama. I think this is going to be a really good one because this encapsulates everything that we've led up to. This goes to everything that we've been walking up to, building up to in the past 10 weeks. And this week we are going to talk about something that we have all seen in our history, that we have, and as long as you are over the age of 5-6 years old, you have been part of this history. You have seen the encapsulation. You have seen what it took to get to this point and inspiring like Obama. Yes, we are going to talk about the 44th president, President Barack Obama. And we are going to talk about him and the way that he inspired. If you remember, if you was an adult, if you remember this time back in 2008, 2007, 2008, the way that he inspired an entire nation, the way that he inspired not just blacks, but the whole nation, but he did. He was a huge impact. He was a huge inspiration to African Americans. We got out and voted in record numbers. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We are not going to go as much into his history. We're going to give a brief background, but we're going to be talking about inspiring like Obama, like President Barack Obama. I'm real excited. I'm really excited to close this We Be Like series out. I'm glad because this is a completion thing. This is about taking the running towards the goal line, but not just running towards it, but seeing it all the way through. So in this 11th week, we're going to be talking about inspiring like Obama. So after these breaks, make sure you come back and make sure you listen to everything. Join me on this 24th episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder as we get into the 11th part of the We Be Like series as we talk about inspire like Obama. So after these breaks, we go jump right into it. Peace. Hey, what's up? What's up? Welcome to the 24th episode of Wonder Why with your man L Wonder. I want you to know I just scrapped the whole entire thing of what I was about to do because I want to make sure that I'm doing what is inspiring me and what God is speaking to my heart to do and how he's inspiring me. So look, peep this. Today is our 11th episode, our 11th part of We Be Like. And what I'm doing, I'm about to change the game. Like I said, I already started recording everything, but when God speaks to your heart, he has to. I'm going to start this episode kind of like I finished. We Be Like series kind of like I started it. And we talked about dreaming like, Martin at first, and we've been through all of these things. And I want to break down what it means to inspire, why we're inspiring. Because when Martin dreamed, he dreamed from what he seen, what could be or what should be, or what God inspired him was the potential of being. So now that we went through all of these people and all of the things that people have done to assist to build up America. Now we are getting to the place of inspiring. Why do we inspire? Let me break down why we inspiring and why we inspire and what is inspiring. I like this definition that I found on Google. These two definitions, it gives two. I love how I just break it down like this. I'll just give it to you just how it is. To inspire is to feel someone with the urge or ability to do or feel something. Especially to do something creative. So to inspire means that you are filling someone with the urge or ability, that you are motivating, that you are pushing, that you are driving somebody to do something, especially something creative. So if somebody say you inspire them, please don't take that lightly. But the second definition is simply breathe in or inhale. They can expand their lungs and inspire enough gas to satisfy oxygen requirements. What does that show me? That to inspire means to motivate somebody to do something. That's a necessity to who they are. So why do I say that? Because let me paint a picture of what Barack Obama walked into. So before I do that, let me give you a background because I do want to make sure I break down. Who is Barack Obama? Barack Obama was the 44th president of the United States and the first African-American commander-in-chief. He served two terms in 2008 and 2012, the son of parents from Kenya and Kansas. Obama was born and raised in Hawaii. He graduated from Columbia University and Harvard Law School, where he was president of the Harvard Law Review. After serving on the Illinois State Senate, he was elected to the United States Senate, representing Illinois in 2004. He and his wife, Michelle Obama, have two daughters, Malia and Sasha. Obama was born in Honolulu, Hawaii on August 4th, 1961. Father Barack Obama Sr. And Mother Ann Dunham. So basically, his parents met in Hawaii. They got married on February 2nd. 6 months later, Barack Obama was born. His father left soon after. He ended up coming to America so he can go to school. And they divorced a couple years after. Yep, his father had attended Harvard University and pursued a PhD. So that's who Barack Obama is. I do not want to take anything away from who President Barack Obama is, but that's who he was. Now, what do I mean by inspiring? Let's get to the inspirational part, because this is where the meat and potatoes is going to come from on this, okay? So Barack Obama, okay, so let's paint a picture. Nobody really knew who Barack Obama was. Back in 2004, he gave this phenomenal speech. When I say phenomenal, he gave one of the best speeches that you ever would have seen. And that's what kind of put him on a platform. That's what kind of put him out here. It was back in 2004 at the National Convention, at the Democratic National Convention. And he inspired people. He basically told about his mom. He talked about his dad. He talked about their parents and how their parents kind of set the table for them. But he also talked about how his parents had set the table for him. And because of the table that they set for him, he is able to even be on this stage, which he never really had the platform to do. He talked about being in America, how America is not about, you don't have to be rich in order to be successful. But he talked about how his parents set the stage and also by naming him. We talked about names and stuff like that. So his name, Barack, is African and it means blessing. And it talked about how he talked about how in America, we have a chance to go after whatever it is that we want in America because of the American dream, because of America and the promises that America have. And he stated, now there's many people who's going to try to shift and this is what we want to talk about. So let's get a setting after knowing all of that, why do we say that Barack Obama inspired? Because I don't know if you remember this or not, but let me tell you about a time back in 2003. Okay? No, I'm sorry. I said 2003. Let me take that back. Let me tell you about a time of 2007 to 2008. Okay? I don't know if you remember this or not, but 2008 was kind of a terrible time economically. It kind of sucked economically. Now, why do I say that 2008 kind of sucked? Because financially, it did. the 2008 financial crisis was the worst economic disaster since the Great Depression of 1929. It occurred despite the efforts of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Department of Treasury. The crisis led to the Great Recession, where housing prices dropped more than the price plunged during the Great Depression. This meant, because I remember that, we bought our house in 2005. I bought my house in 2005, and in August of 2005, and do you know, within six months, my house went from $100,000 to $30,000. Unemployment raised up to, I think it said almost 10%. It was still above 9%. Gas prices, y'all remember gas prices? Gas prices was at like $5 at that time. People had it real bad. They was going through some stuff. They was going through a lot of stuff. The housing market crashed. The banks crashed. They blamed Freddie Mac for the entire crisis. You had big companies closing. You had huge companies closing. You had huge companies that just closed. That's when, oh my goodness, you had car dealerships closing. So people was losing jobs. 2007 to 2008 was real hard economically. You had people losing their jobs, so you had people worrying about how to take care of their household, their family. You had a lot of stuff going on. So our nation was crumbling. Our nation, finally, we had two wars going on. So in saying all of that, you had a lot of stuff going on. And then there came this guy. And I'm not trying to say it like he's a savior. But there came a guy named Barack Obama. While we were at that time, because you got to remember what that caused. That caused us to be feeling some type of way. I don't know what we go do for our next meal. I don't know how we go get through certain things. I do remember that year before, I didn't have a car for a while. So we was on a bus. I had to ride the bus. And y'all probably heard, some people heard me tell a story about me being on a bus with my kids and me taking blankets with us. So while we sitting at the bus stop, I was able to take the blanket and cover and wrap it around us and sit at the bus stop and try to keep us all warm, because the snow was up to our feet. We was bundled up real big, real so much. We was bundled up and everything, but we still was cold. So we had to wrap it around ourselves and hopefully wait for the bus to come. So during that time, we was hurting. We was feeling some type of way. We needed to be filled to be able to feel like we can get out of this. It was draining. It was tiresome. It was hard. And then there came a guy who would inspire an entire nation, who could grab us and our attention. This is what he did. Let me tell you what he did. He motivated pushed and motivated so many people to do something different, to even believe that there could be a difference. Because you imagine, because at the time, it was hard. It was challenging. Nobody wanted to do anything. Why am I talking about this? Because I want you to understand something. The power of motivation, the power of inspiration. But before I do any of that, I want you to hear this speech. We'll kind of break it down. I want to listen to the speech. And I'm going to skip past a little bit because at one point in time, he's going to do his intro, which I love his intro. And then after that, he's going to start talking about his a little bit in the middle where it's not necessarily, he's going to just start giving thanks to everybody. And I'll skip a little bit past that until he gets to the real part. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I want you to hear this because all of these things, he inspired so many people. He inspired 2 million more African Americans to get out and vote, 2 million more Hispanics to get out and vote, 600,000 more Asian Americans to get out and vote. So he inspired so many people, and he won that by 50. He was at like 55, 56% of the vote in 2004. So I just want you to hear this. Just listen to the way he inspired. Now, this is after he won. He inspired us to get out and vote. But listen to how he inspired us to make a difference, okay? This is, and just a FYI, this is President Barack Obama's speech. As a matter of fact, do I want to play it? No, I'm not going to play it. We can just go break it down. He said, if there's anyone out there who still doubts that America is a, no, don't, you got to hear the man. You got to hear the man, President Barack Obama, as he inspires.
Hello, Chicago. If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer. It's the answer told by lines that stretched around schools and churches in numbers this nation has never seen, by people who waited 3 hours and 4 hours, many for the first time in their lives, because they believed that this time must be different, that their voices could be that difference. It's the answer spoken by young and old, rich and poor, Democrat and Republican, Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight, disabled, and not disabled. Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America. It's the answer that led those who've been told for so long by so many to be cynical and fearful and doubtful about what we can achieve, to put their hands on the arc of history and bend it once more toward the hope of a better day. It's been a long time coming, but tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
So I'm going to pause it right there for a minute, and then I'm going to continue. I'm going to move it up a little bit because here he starts talking about how he got the call from Senator John McCain, which is real cool. But he talked about that. He also started giving his intro. He thanked currently our current president, Joe Biden. He thanked his wife. Of course, he thanked his best friend, 16 years, his wife. He talked to his children. He says, you know, y'all have definitely earned the job, a dog, the puppy to take to the White House. But I want to, and then he talked about his campaign manager and stuff like that. So I want to skip all that so I can get y'all to the point where he really gets to his inspiration. And I want y'all to really listen to what he's saying. He just set a pretext of how the job that has been done got us to the point where that we were at. That, remember, that was election night. And now he's about to give a precedence of where, how we're going to continue on. So I'm about to start that. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So here it is. He's here. It goes. It's going to be picked up right here.
Above all, I will never forget who this victory truly belongs to. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. I was never the likeliest candidate for this office. We didn't start with much money or many endorsements. Our campaign was not hatched in the halls of Washington. It began in the backyards of Des Moines, in the living rooms of Concord, and the front porches of Charleston. It was built by working men and women who dug into what little savings they had to give $5, $10, and $20 to the cause. It grew strength from the young people who rejected the myth of their generation's apathy, who left their homes and their families for jobs that offered little pay and less sleep. It drew strength from the not-so-young people who braved the bitter cold and scorching heat to knock on doors of perfect strangers, and from the millions of Americans who volunteered and organized and proved that more than two centuries later, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people has not perished from the earth. This is your victory. Now, I know you didn't do this just to win an election. I know you didn't do it for me. You did it because you understand the enormity of the task that lies ahead. For even as we celebrate tonight, we know the challenges that tomorrow will bring are the greatest of our lifetime. Two wars, a planet in peril, the worst financial crisis in a century. Even as we stand here tonight, we know there are brave Americans waking up in the deserts of Iraq and the mountains of Afghanistan to risk their lives for us. There are mothers and fathers who will lie awake after their children fall asleep and wonder how they'll make the mortgage or pay their doctor's bills or save enough for their child's college education. There's new energy to harness, new jobs to be created, new schools to build, and threats to meet, alliances to repair. The road ahead will be long. Our climb will be steep. We may not get there in 1 year or even in one term, but America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight that we will get there. I promise you, we as a people will get there. There will be setbacks and false starts. There are many who won't agree with every decision or policy I make as president. And we know the government can't solve every problem. But I will always be honest with you about the challenges we face. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree. And above all, I will ask you to join in the work of remaking this nation the only way it's been done in America for 221 years, block by block, brick by brick, calloused hand by calloused hand. What began 21 months ago in the depths of winter cannot end on this autumn night. This victory alone is not the change we seek. It is only the chance for us to make that change. And that cannot happen if we go back to the way things were. It can't happen without you, without a new spirit of service, a new spirit of sacrifice. So let us summon a new spirit of patriotism, of responsibility, where each of us resolves to pitch in and work harder and look after not only ourselves, but each other. Let us remember that if this financial crisis taught us anything, it's that we cannot have a thriving Wall Street while Main Street suffers. In this country, we rise or fall as one nation, as one people. Let's resist the temptation to fall back on the same partisanship and pettiness and immaturity that has poisoned our politics for so long. Let's remember that it was a man from this state who first carried the banner of the Republican Party to the White House, a party founded on the values of self-reliance and individual liberty and national unity. Those are values that we all share. And while the Democratic Party has won a great victory tonight, we do so with a measure of humility and determination to heal the divides that have held back our progress.
So I just want to stop it right there. I don't want to get the people to get too tied up, but I really want to talk about how he inspired and what stood out when it came to his inspiration. First off, of course, I like the fact that he thanked everybody. He thanked the people that was close to him. But he set a foundation. He started off by setting the foundation. We accomplished something. He talked about the current accomplishments as far as him being elected as president, how everybody, it wasn't about him. It was about us all coming together, working together. So that's the first thing. When we inspire, we need to first make sure that we establish our current position. Establishing our current position in the positive things, the steps forward, what that does, it keeps people motivated. It lets people know that first off, the work that you have done has not been in vain. Keep on pushing. Keep on knowing that the work that you have already done, know that the work that you have already done has been a catalyst to get to a certain point. It's not over. The work is not over, but it has been value. It is important to where you are going. So that's the first step. Make sure that you identify the growth, the development, the pursuant that the plate that the in the people in the pursued efforts from the people that you are speaking to. So when you want to inspire, make sure that you account for the progress that people have already made. Secondly, what he did was, I like how he was honest and truthful. Secondly, make sure that you inspire with truth and honesty. What he did, he talked about not just the efforts, but he talked about what you did, what everybody did to get to this point. But he also said, okay, but we're not done. So when you inspire, you want to inspire people to continue to going forward. Yes, we got to identify the work that has been done to get to the point, but we also got to be honest and truthful to let them know that the work is not done. And talk about the challenges that you might face. But you will ultimately talk about, because what he did, he started talking about the challenges that you might face, the false starts, the setbacks. You might not agree with everything I'm saying. You might not agree with all the policies that I've been put in place. He talked about, those are things that's going to, because why did he say that? He had to talk about those things because during the rest of the 8-year tenure of him being president, he understood that there was going to be challenges that were going to come up that could potentially put you back in the mindset of the previous time frame. You want to help prepare people for challenges, because if not, then those same challenges could deter them or cause a certain mentality to put them back in the place that they were in. That's a hard thing. And then he continued on. He continued on how to let him know how once we get through these things, as a matter of fact, let me just get to it real quick, that way we can hear the rest of it.
Not have won your vote tonight, but I hear your voices. I need your help, and I will be your president too.
See, he was already setting a precedence, letting them know, okay, you look, for the people who did not vote for me, I'm still with you. I'm still in here together. So let's pull together so we can get ourselves together on the same pace. I'm your president, and I'm just saying it as a jab, but he's saying it. Look, we all Americans when it come down to it. Let's not let all of this other stuff divide us. Okay, so.
watching tonight from beyond our shores, from parliaments and palaces, to those who are huddled around radios in the forgotten corners of the world. Our stories are singular, but our destiny is shared. And a new dawn of American leadership is at hand. To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you. To those who seek peace and security, we support you. And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we proved once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's the true genius of America, that America can change. Our union can be perfected. What we've already achieved gives us hope for what we can and must achieve tomorrow. This election had many firsts and many stories that will be told for generations, but one that's on my mind tonight is about a woman who cast her ballot in Atlanta. She is a lot like the millions of others who stood in line to make their voice heard in this election, except for one thing. Ann Nixon Cooper is 106 years old. She was born just a generation past slavery, a time when there were no cars on the road or planes in the sky, when someone like her couldn't vote for two reasons, because she was a woman and because of the color of her skin. And tonight, I think about all that she's seen throughout her century in America, the heartache and the hope, the struggle and the progress, the times we were told that we can't, and the people who pressed on with that American creed, yes, we can. At a time when women's voices were silenced and their hopes dismissed, she lived to see them stand up and speak out and reach for the ballot. Yes, we can. When there was despair in the Dust Bowl and depression across the land, she saw a nation conquer fear itself with a new deal, new jobs, a new sense of common purpose. Yes, we can. When the bombs fell on our harbor and tyranny threatened the world, she was there to witness a generation rise to greatness and a democracy was saved. Yes, we can. She was there for the buses in Montgomery, the hoses in Birmingham, a bridge in Selma, and a preacher from Atlanta who told the people that we shall overcome. Yes, we can. A man touched down on the moon. A wall came down in Berlin. A world was connected by our own science and imagination. And this year, in this election, she touched her finger to a screen and cast her vote. Because after 106 years in America, through the best of times and the darkest of hours, she knows how America can change. Yes, we can. America, we have come so far. We have seen so much. But there's so much more to do. So tonight, let us ask ourselves, if our children should live to see the next century, if my daughters should be so lucky to live as long as Ann Nixon Cooper, what change will they see? What progress will we have made? This is our chance to answer that call. This is our moment. This is our time to put our people back to work and open doors of opportunity for our kids, to restore prosperity and promote the cause of peace, to reclaim the American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth that out of many, we are one, that while we breathe, we hope, and where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Hmm.
So that was his speech after he won the election. And you hear how powerful, you hear how motivational, you hear how inspiring that speech was, because it was a transitional point. It was letting us know, all of us, and I say us, because if you was alive at that point, I know you were up no matter what time of night it was, watching and listening to his speech as he accepted, as he just found out he won the election. But we were inspired, because, and he let us know that it wasn't easy. It wasn't going to be easy. And trust me, that 8 years was not an easy situation. We had to go through, it was so many things going on as a country. And I'm pretty sure it was so many things going on in your personal life. But it was definitely a time that we all are going to remember. But he motivated us to push more. He motivated us to drive ourselves. He motivated us to step up to a different level. He motivated us to not just accept the status quo, but he inspired us to move. Since then, think about it. How much have most people become attentive to what's been going on in politics, in the government since then? He inspired us to become part of something that we was never part, that we, many of us, wasn't part of before. And I know why I hear people all the time talk about how, well, if you just start focusing on politics around Obama, it's okay, because there's no time like the present time. And if whatever time you started focusing on it, that's where you get your learning from. That's where you keep progressing. So I hope that you take this inspiring like Obama, and you really just check how you inspire people, because you have the ability, just like I said at the beginning, there's life and death in the power of our tongue. And I started recording this, and I was inspired to transition what I was recording and why I was recording and in the direction that it take. And I did. Because the way that we speak to people, the way that we inspire people, we can kill people with our tongue. We can kill a person's dream with the words that we say. So please challenge yourself to speak life over people, to inspire people, to listen. Like I said, he took where the current position, where he said, he talked about all the work that it took to get to this point. He talked about all the work that it's going to take to get to the front, to continue to go on. But as we choose to inspire today and choose to inspire, I mean, as we choose to speak today, as we choose our words today, as we have conversations, choose to speak and inspire. Because you never know who you inspire. You never know who you're pulling out of certain things. People are going through stuff all day, every day. So make sure that your words are words that's going to build up people. Now, we don't have to do it on a grand stage like we've seen President Obama. We don't have to do it through a podcast. You can just do it through passing. Make sure that you, the people that you talk to today, how can I inspire you? What can I say to lift you up? You don't have to ask them. All you got to do, you can say that in your own head as you're talking to them. Listen for context clues that they might be giving out. But you have the ability. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. You have the ability to build up. You have the ability to tear down. Use your inspiration. Use that for a positive manner, because you never know who you might be inspiring. Let's not be like that teacher who told Malcolm Little that he can't be a lawyer. Let's not be like those people who told us that we're not able to do. But let's bring something new to the table and use our tongue to bring life. Use our words to inspire, to build up, to breathe. Simply breathe. So once again, I just thank you for this time. Thank you for listening to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. I really appreciate it. Like I said, this is the 24th episode. Next week, we will be returning live. We will be returning live, and it will be the the final part of this Weeby Like episode. I will have my man, Mr. K, back on. We will be on live next week, Sunday at 4 p.m. And we will be talking about how Weeby Like. I just wrapped this up live. You get to tell me your live thoughts, your thoughts and everything like that. Thank you for this journey. Like I said last week, like I said every week, I don't know about you. I really hope that you got something out of this. But just in case you didn't, I'm going to be honest with you. I've learned so much. I pulled so much from just exploring our Black history. So you, hopefully you can do the same. Go and read a book. There's so many other things that you can go and look up. As a matter of fact, this inspired me. We know I talked about so many. I talked about a whole bunch of different things. But I've been looking up so many more different places, so many different more Black people, many different people. I was looking up, do you know the story about the Black Wall Street? Go look up the Black Wall Street. Go look up all of the different, go just Google Black history. Google Black people who made a difference in America. And trust me, you just build up your whole education, just build your life. And then maybe you can hit me on or some people to talk about next year, because I'm definitely going to be throwing this in sporadically. But like I said, I'm just excited. I'm really excited to get this, that we was able to get this. I'm feel real accomplished because this has been 11 weeks of a lot of research, a lot of dedication, a lot of passion in what I do. And I think it took this podcast to a different level. I really appreciate y'all for following me. Trust me, we ain't over. Like I said, it ain't over. This is just getting started. But it's time for me to go get off this thing. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Make sure you join me next week. We will be live on Facebook Live, but it's going to always be recorded so it can be put on the podcast. Until next week, Wonder out.